Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
This morning, I'm going to just do a review of Zazen. And if anybody has a question as we go along, feel free to ask. It's interesting that I realized when doing this, I came across this old notebook that I have. And I have all these, I have folders with all these little notes and poems and everything, which I use to do talks or help, you know, enhance my talks. And so I just happened to come across this, so I'm going to use this. This is a bunch of old notes about the practice of Zen and Zazen in particular. The other thing is, although this is fairly comfortable, I twisted my knee a little bit, so I can't sit on the floor. But I'm going to ask for a couple of volunteers as we get into this to demonstrate. There's, four or five different ways to sit. And there's a number of different ways that we hold our posture. And I'll get into that in a minute. But just a quick background. Zazen, if you read about Zazen, I mean, there's books that are devoted to Zazen. This is going to be like a toe in the ocean. But most frequently, the Zazen is interpreted as to sit Zen or Zen meditation. And Dogen described Zazen as sitting immovable like a bold mountain. Now, this is sort of how I've always related to it. For me, the way that I would describe it is to just sit. Right? No stories, not a lot of instruction, just sit. And this teacher, Kodo Sawaki Roshi, who was a Zen master from the early 20th century, and he said, just sit, and that's the end of it. Right? No stories tacked on the end. Now, one of the things that I think, it's been my experience that I've noticed, most of the emphasis on Zazen is our relationship to our mind, to the thoughts that we have and how we what we do with those thoughts and the understanding the importance of becoming still. But if we were to stop there, we'd be very top-heavy, right? The practice centering on the mind, you know, you could imagine yourself. And that would occur to me. Many of the Buddha statues that you see, they're almost like paperweights. The weight of the statue is in the base, and it's more a void in the top part of the sculpture. And that's sort of like Zazen. We need to balance the focus and all the attention that we place on working with mind with the rest of our body. So that's why we need a stable sitting position, because they work together. If we don't have a stable sitting position and our body is doing this all the time and we're making all these subtle corrections, that makes it much more difficult to develop a mind that's still. So it's the whole body mind. It's not just one part. Now, Dogen said that, he wrote, that in Zazen, it is of primary importance to sit with the correct posture. And then he said, next, we need to regulate the breath and calm down. So it's not just the posture and the position that we sit in, but it's also another physical aspect of Zazen is breathing. And these notes are sort of disorganized in a way, but I'll come back to that. In Zazen, the way that I see it, you know, I start out that Carl is doing meditation. I'm learning meditation, and Carl is breathing, and Carl has thoughts. So there's a lot of thinking that goes on. But as we begin to sit more deeply, and in my case, as I begin to sit more deeply, slowly I vanish, and sitting vanishes. And this dualistic relationship between I am doing something vanishes. And this takes place, well, sometimes it can take place just like that. But many times, if we take up this practice, this change takes place very slowly and very subtly. And just as soon as we get the idea, well, let me see, how am I sitting more still than I was? There it goes again, right? There's a big split. But that's part of the process, this back and forth, back and forth. But if we have the correct posture, we have a solid base, and we allow the mind to still, then we become Zazen completely. Now, there's another aspect of this is I know from people that I've known that have devoted themselves to the practice of yoga and people that do mind-body work, massage and that kind of thing. And then there's also the body has various chakras. And part of taking up the appropriate position is that the body functions as a whole, that the energy system, that the energy in the body flows freely. And that also allows us to be relaxed and to be centered. So again, that's another thing that happens by taking up the correct posture, which also supports as part of the practice of Zazen. Now, before I get to the actual postures themselves, just generally and simply, we breathe into the nose and out of the mouth, but subtly. It's not like what can happen sometimes is that somebody really gets into this and you'll find somebody is, well, it's difficult to sit next to somebody who is doing that. So, you know, I ask in the practice to breathe in and out silently. Now, it's also, especially as your breath gets more and more still, to breathe in and out of your nose. And I would suggest just do what feels the most comfortable. For me personally, I breathe in and out of my nose. But when you get the basic instructions in Zazen, they start out by saying to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. So just take a minute to just observe yourself doing that one way or the other. Now, you may notice that when you're doing it, that you're following the breath in your head, in the nose. You could feel it coming in and out, maybe your chest and your nose. But there's an energy center, which is just below the navel. And that's where the core energy of the body is. So when we're sitting and the breath comes in, our attention really is watching Vihara expand as the breath comes in. So you can put your hand there, put your hand in your hara, and then just watch your breath, let your breath come in, and watch your hand rise and fall. So this is where the attention is on our breath, not our chest, not coming in through our nose. This is in Zazen. And as we're doing this, our tongue should be resting lightly on the roof of our mouth. Now in Zazen, unlike many types of meditation, we don't completely close our eyes. We pick a spot somewhere around 4 feet or so. Now it's a little bit tighter here, so you wouldn't be able to do it so well, but about 4 feet away, and you drop your gaze, but you don't close your eyes completely. They're closed about three quarters of the way, and they're left open. The eyes themselves drop to a place about 4 feet away. And this but it helps us to not get drowsy or dreamy if our eyes are open. It's easy to get sleepy if your eyes are closed. So again, fall into your posture and then try and, without being erect, like strained erect, try and allow your posture, whether you're sitting in a chair or seiza, which is what I'm sitting in, or you're sitting on the floor in lotus or full lotus, and allow your spine to be straight. Notice your shoulders. Are they tense or are they soft? Now, I notice that, like on a cold day like today, when I first come in, I can't believe how rigid my shoulders are. If I'm being cold, it's like this, I can barely talk. And so when that happens, if you realize it's very important to relax your shoulders, again, to promote a fully functioning body. So you can breathe into your shoulders. I'm going to do this out loud. Have the breath go into the shoulders and then just let it flow out and the tension with your shoulders. Into my shoulders, out with the tension. So we take up a particular position, which I'll talk about. We keep our spine vertical. We relax our shoulders. We bring our attention to our breathing. And we do that by focusing our attention into our hara, just below the navel. And just not controlling it, just with curiosity, just watch the belly rise and fall, rise and fall, and almost riding it, you know, just rise and fall. It's your body, your whole body is rising and falling, and you're paying attention to it in your hara. And the other part is to go back is to notice your eyes. Are your eyes closed? Are they wide open? Or can you shut them about 75% and gaze about 4 feet away from the floor, from yourself? Now the chin is slightly tucked in. You don't want to have a head tipping forward, but it's not straight out like you would imagine an erect posture is in the military sense, right? Just let it drop slightly. And again, by doing that, it takes some of the tension out of our neck and our shoulders. So all of these elements make up the physical component of Zazen. How do we create this being that is optimum for doing the work of Zazen, for allowing the mind to become still and have whatever is going to take place? Now, another aspect of this is, what do we do with our hands? Now, there's probably for each one of us, there's a different hand position. and I'll be the first sinner as far as that's concerned. Now, there's what's called the cosmic mudra. I don't know if you can all see that, but we place our hands like this, the right hand with the left hand over it and making an oval. Right, and that's the classic sitting position. It's called the cosmic mudra. So that gets rested in your lap. Whether you're sitting in a chair, you're sitting in seiza like I am on my knees, or you're sitting in a chair. So I'm going to start out by teaching you that's the way to do it. And that's the way that I would encourage you to do it. However, I don't do it. I hold my hands similar to shashu, which I was talking about last week, and I put those in my lap. And for some reason over the years, I found that for me personally, I'm able to concentrate better like that than I am like this, because I could never get rid of the sensation of tension that was created by holding my hands in this particular way. But as a teacher, I have a undying responsibility to tell you, don't follow. If you're sitting, so the hands can be like this, whether you're sitting with your legs crossed or you're sitting like this, or you're sitting in a chair. Now, the next thing with the breath is usually when we enter into the practice, I would teach, and we may have learned that, I'm going to again do this out loud. All right, so we take up the position. I'm in seiza. I put my hands in the cosmic mudra. And usually when I sit down, I would take a clearing breath, sort of the body settle. Now, again, in beginning the practice, we count. And that's a way to learning to keep your attention connected to the breath. So the first round of counting is the in-breath is one and the out-breath is two. You go all the way up to 10. When you get to 10, if you get to 10, it takes a while. But if you get to 10, then you just go back to 1. If you realize for the last 10 minutes you've been thinking, just simply go back to 1. And it's not like weightlifting or training for an event. You just let yourself keep doing this. You don't measure how good you're getting at it or get frustrated with yourself because you can't get past 4. That's all extra. Just simply return to 1 when your attention has been broken without criticism, which is that's a sort of familiar thing, I think, that happens for people. You know, they want to do it right, and there's really their energy is in it. And then when you can only get to 4, it's like, wow, you hear about these guys that live in the mountains and they only breathe once a year. You know that. So, all right, so that's the first round. And then eventually, you know, like if somebody that comes to see me in Daisan is doing that, this, you can sort of tell. I'll sit and breathe together on it. You can sort of tell that they've got the 1, 2, 3, 4 down. So the next step would be to count one whole breath. So the breath comes in, the number goes out. And ascend, again, exactly the same. Go to 10 if you can. If you don't, either way, if you cut the 10, then you come back to 1, or if you don't get to 10, you just simply keep going back, going back. And that going back is very important, because if you look at me for a second, it's like when you lose attention, it's like your body is going off kilter. And returning to the 1 is saying, go back, right? And then you sit for a while, and you start going like this, and you go back. Now, this is a metaphor, but we constantly can lose center, and to remember to go back is the practice of over and over and over again, thousands of times, teaching ourselves to come back to center when we get knocked off of center. Right, so that's very important. The next way is to give up any numbers and just following the breath. And the first way is to just follow the breath. So the breath comes in. Now, one thing that's helpful is when the breath comes in, it goes in, right? Really put your focus on not saying anything, just attention. Really focus on that energy, that out breath. Right? But we're not using numbers anymore. It's just... Now, you know, there are koans, which are teaching devices, which I've given talks on and stuff. And as an example, and this would be, again, something that you would probably take up with a teacher about how to do this, especially as the koans change. But if, for example, the original koan is, does a dog have... we know that everything has Buddha nature, but the teacher asks the student, does a dog have Buddha nature? And normally what happens is the student leaves and tries to figure this out. Okay, so what the hell does this mean? And, you know, goes on Google and the whole thing, right? But it's an invitation to trap the mind, but also to have the mind realize that this question cannot be answered intellectually. So one of the ways, this is sort of like a mantra. I don't know, has anybody have ever done transcendental meditation? Right, and I won't ask you to tell, but in transcendental meditation, you're given, it's like two words, two sounds, and that's your mantra, right? So, good boy will be my mantra for this demonstration, right? So, and I'm just hearing good boy in my head. But in Zen, we don't do mantra, but you can do something like, for example, with the koan mu. And it's similar to the out-breath. So I'm sitting with mu. And eventually, there is no identifiable sound called mu. But it's a way of just fully putting all your energy, all your attention into mu. And then the answer appears somewhere along the way if you do it faithfully. And just so you know, many, 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 many students have come to the teacher and barked. And if you don't bark from the correct place, it's just a joke, right? A cosmic joke. Woof, woof. And then the final one, this is in the Soto Zen more, gradual school, and like Suzuki Roshi. It happens in both places, but there's a thing called shikantaza. And then you just sit. And there's nothing. You just sit. And sometimes as you get skilled at this, the bell will ring and it's like, holy shit, it seems like you just started 2 minutes ago. Pardon my language, I apologize. But it's just empty sitting, right? There's nothing. Just quiet. What can happen is, I remember in learning this, it's hard to explain this, but all of a sudden, I really saw that what a troublemaker my mind was. And there was something about that was like, oh, and it was very helpful because then I was no longer having a struggle. We were worrying about keep going back and I have to go back and all these rules. And I just realized that when I heard a thought or saw a thought, that it was just a thought. And it was okay, and then, you know, to go back. So there can be a shift for you as you learn to do this over time. It can become more and more of a habit. Right? Not an assignment that you have to remember to do, but it's just how you sit. And my experience is I've been doing this for 40 years and I still have thoughts and this practice still takes place. So it's a part of what it is to be human is to have your mind thinking. What happens though is the more you sit, the less thinking there is. And sometimes there are really long periods of no thinking. But it's not the enemy. It's just a natural part of practice, and we work with it. Suzuki Roshi said, the way to deal with thinking is, it's like having somebody come to your house. You open the front door, and you open the back door, and you let the thought come through, but you don't invite it to stay. You just let it keep going and go out the back door. I don't know, somehow that, I mean, you can see how you invite it to stay, right? You have a thought, and then that thought goes on top of that, and oh my, you know, pretty soon you're back 2 days ago when you had a run-in with somebody in the office, you know? So just let it go through. Any questions about the thought, the working with thinking? Now in Japan, there's a stick called the kisaku. And one of the monks will walk around holding the kisaku like this. And if he knows you're thinking, smacks you on the shoulder. I'm just kidding. We don't, of course, do that. That was occurred very frequently in the Japanese monasteries. And its history goes to the fact that the militaristic aspect of the Japanese culture. So there was a certain violent nature to it, beside being a way of helping a student focus attention. All right, so has everybody seen what a full lotus looks like? There's not many of us our age that are sitting in the full lotus anymore. Oh, you can do it. Okay, great. Court, could you go out there so everybody could see you? Now, it's important that you know how to do this, because you don't want to have somebody screaming in pain in the Zendo when we're trying to be quiet. Well, thanks, Court. And Jim, you do the, I don't know if you sit, but you can do the full lotus also. Now, do a half lotus. All right, so you have one foot up on the thigh as opposed to two. Now, is this clear? It's a little hard, but okay. And then both feet are on the mat, but my legs are out like this. Now, this is the way that I've sat for years. And this is called the Burmese sitting position. All right, so you have the full lotus, the half lotus. This is sort of going down from stability. Full lotus is the most stable, half lotus, the Burmese sitting position. Oh, then there's seiza. That's what I was sitting in before. Now, by the way, just as a reminder, if I was doing this correctly, I would take my hands, put them in the cosmic mudra, and I would be sitting like this. And also with a spine that's not military straight, but straight in a relaxed way. My gaze would be dropped. So zazen, kinhin, protocol, all the things, all the basic stuff that takes place in Zendo. And again, just as a reminder, I will be looking to correct some of these things, but please don't take it as a criticism. It's just so that we all can sort of get in the groove and be doing everything the same way. So, thank you.